What a story. The end of war story. End of war. It continues like this. You know, we have in a little corner of this story some Hare Krishnas, very vaguely. And then there is this, you know, in the middle of all this, because what we're seeing here in this story, this episode or season or whatever, or this book or this film, is that progression there. And we will put America, or rather what we will do is we will take each one of those countries. Well, you could take, first of all, the global north and global south, almost as characters in this film. You know, the global north character and the global south character may be represented by people, individuals, certain leaders from each side. Why not? I mean, should such leaders, you know, one main leader for the global north and one main leader for the global south appear, as the more those two domains, or what to say, Atlantic sides are about. So then we have this lady there. Okay, so we have two sides. Now we're looking at America this time. What develops there through the film is that we've got those sides there. You know, there's a little of the history of America. The real one and the myth, the heroism and the greed and the, you know, that actually they are more thinking of themselves as the lords of the world, leaders and empire, all that, gradually. So that's one side of them we show. But then we show, you know, by just looking at that country, for instance, we can learn so much about human psychology. But we want to tell the story of, well, you know, what we had there, the socialist, communism, and the different isms back then, capitalism, and then imperialism, and colonialism. That's what we're going to look at. It's there in the background, but we are here and now. But we should see how here and now has grown out of that background, from the age of the isms, something like that. And then, you know, you had imperialism versus communist socialism back in the 70s, very powerful. The Cold War was very much that. So what's there now? Well, it's more about approaches to get what you want. I mean, when I'm saying this, I'm not really... It's quite some work to make a deeper analysis there of the different, you know, what isms became and all this political thing. This is more like scholarly work for a professor or something. So, anyway, so then we see, absurdly enough, that, you know, land of the free and the brave and the democracy, above all other democracies, and the leader of the free world, you know, that the free with a super-duper balloon, capital F. They start there, some people in there start thinking that yes, we are the best. We know that our parents taught us that, and you know, we hear it all over media. We are the best. We're simply, the others are just behind us, the ones there overseas. And they hardly know anything about Europe or what to speak of Asia. It's something from the books, because to them, you know, the United Empire, you know, that center of the world is all that really counts. So that we can show that. But then we have some of those who are moral, you know, they're, how to say, care about human rights and all that, they decide that, yes, as leaders of the world, it is our duty to promote, you know, defend our interests, of course, promote our interests, which are that others should also have, you know, the people of other countries should not be bereft of this beautiful way of life that we have, the democratic, free civilization, with a capital S there, with a balloon. So therefore, you know, they make this very nice thing called the CIA, you know, it's a little behind the screen, and other, actually it doesn't exist, and you know, that kind of thing, 46, whatever it was. We show that in this whole story. And they, you know, this leader over there is not democratic, it's a dictator. And so he's not serving our interests and the interests of his people and the interests of the world, you know, and all of that great philanthropic talk. And behind the screen there, you know, they got oil that we want. And so on. We just show those things. And then how, you know, the neocons develop, basically. But then the neolibs, or what do you call it, neoliberals, we can show how they develop. And I mean, we can show the hippies and that movement going on there, you know, the right and the left, even the kids from the right and the left. The righties fighting wars in Vietnam and the leftists smoking dope and you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll. But then how, from within that, I'm just basically maybe giving a view structure, the story structure that this end of war can, should then plug into and be a part of. And each part This is just a kind of author approach here. Should kind of look into the entire universe, that this is a story, but from different angles, but and focus on a certain piece of the story while also showing a little bit there in the background, the big picture of it. This is a good way. Mm. So then, but I think I'm pretty much here in the war story, that during the Cold War and up to now then, Second Cold War, some call it, there's been that kind of conflict behind it there, that kind of, or maybe several, you know, the left and right and the this and the that, but then they become strange, and left looks like the right, and the right suddenly looks like the left, and we realize that there are other things coming up there. There's bewilderment, because what it's really about is that the large corporations have come in there and taken over the whole political scene with their lobbyists and so on and so forth. So there's money controlling, there are money interests that control the politics and the military, you know, the military industrial complex and all of that. And they are, you know, we just need to tell the story as it looks today. There's one phalang there, whatever you call it, one side of it, that they're just dreaming away into some kind of media world where they are ready to push the nuclear button as if it was some computer game or something. They are so lost in their computer game world. They lost. This is actually how some of these ambassadors and diplomats and professors who are very expert in understanding what's going on in the world today, they say about those leaders. So we can put that in the story. They're getting lost in this spin, as someone expressed it. And this is all to be found in videos that I have on my folder there, WP2 World Peace, or 3. Yeah. So then we have there a huge population in the U.S. who how long have I been going on here? Oh, that's fine. Who are kind of stemming from the hippie movement, you know, and they are the parents of those people, you know, many, large part of the population of the U.S. have parents who were hippies or grandparents, I don't know, yeah. And then you have those that were parents who were yuppies and yippies and all kinds of groups, but also, of course, the yuppies, I mean, the money-making people, you know, and the stock market people, all that gang. So you have them, they are pushing, of course, the corporate agenda and industrial military complex and let it go to World War, what the heck, and they are sitting there on their cocaine. But then, you know, so you have these different groups and they are going off in their own weird directions, while the large mass, as usual, are simple people who go with the flow. So this is kind of the universe and the story. But then what I want to get to here, central in the end of war story, is that in all this something happens that you see that it's a conflict now, not between East and West or this country, that country, but between two sides, you know, conceptual sides of philosophy and worldview and all of that. So, and one is then kill or get killed, you know, eat or get eaten, that kind of survival of the fittest idea. And the aggressive one, of course. The war side and the colonialist side and all that. And then on the other side, there, on the eastern side, it is becoming more and more. You know, the wisdom of Asia, of India, of China, and of Russia, and of Iran, you know, Persia, and of Greece, and the old culture start to come up and say, hey, now we need to talk here, basically. And then we can show BRICS and that, how they are trying to get together and just be fair to each other and leave each other alone and cooperate and so on, which is there in the basis of Asian culture, which, you know, based on tenets of Buddhism and Hinduism and so on. So that's also like a foundation in our story here. And the big story, which this is one part of. So then, as the drama really gets crazy, which we just take it from what's going on today, because that's drama enough, and I can put it into the story right away. This is just a writing procedure. But in that story, just as it's happening today, there is this lady appearing. She's a soldier. But she also she's from Hawaii, and she generally starts by saying aloha and brings that in there, that Hawaiian traditional, very friendly, whatever it is, but, you know, that respect for life and each other, and which you often find there in older cultures. And also she is born in a family, raised in a family who have, you could say, well, converted to Hinduism, but taken to the Vaishnava tradition, initiated or whatever into it. So she had that heritage too. And then we follow that lady. And when things start to really look bad, then what happens on the most positive thing on the other side, you know, we're talking leaders from each side emerging, that then she is starting to bloom more and more and shine more and more and more. And then you have devotees, you know, Krishna devotees, Vaishnavas, actually devotees of God, whatever you want to call God, but especially the Vaishnava Sanatana Dharmis and so on, and the Buddhists, they started seeing that that yes, here is someone who has this the understanding of Dharma. And she has. And we can show it very beautifully how they, all over the world, billions of people, they are praying into the ether, you know, the Akash records. We can show it very visually, beautifully. To pray for her and give her, you know, blessings, you know, nice CGI here and all that, could be really beautiful. Can you show humans, the humanity on the planet, not in terms of spatial physical bodies, but in terms of as souls. However, that can be done visually, and they are, you know, like heart to heart, you know, giving. And so she becomes even stronger. And she's like really blessed and protected by the gods. You know, we can really show that also beautifully. Parvati, Mother Parvati, and Lord Shiva, and Lord Brahma, and Lord Vishnu, and, you know, all of those traditional Hindu gods, and we can take from the Hawaiian civilization, you know, culture, and others, and we mix them. And they are there, you know, behind them, just blessing everything and protecting her. And then you can have this old precedent. I mean, this is what makes it so cool, actually, because I can take Trump and use him in this story, that, you know, an old two-bit businessman, you know, rich man's son who just stumbles into this and becomes the president of that empire of the world. He has no political experience or education or anything, but he knows how to run a business. And just that, what a story element. I mean, I couldn't imagine a better character in this film than one based on him. Practically just straight off, but different names. Just little tiny different, but enough. So it should be a bit of a satire, I think. I like satire. So anyway, but not too much, because it's also serious, but there should be some comedy parts to it. So anyway, so what happens then is that there is this, it's as if these little people, they're getting aligned into a bigger plan, a bigger, you know, you see there's something, again, looking at the cosmos from above the physical body level, you know, more from the astral level, that there's this kind of light starting to shine, and nobody really knows where it comes from, but it's just there on the over Earth, over the humans. So it's a positive feeling that starts to come here, hope. And we don't know what it is, it's still a mystery. And then, you know, we just follow that. The Trumpish type there, he's an old man, but he just takes this up as more like a fun thing, actually. He pretends, he acts the role of a president. Someone just threw him in there. It was like Providence, but, you know, I have no idea what I'm doing here, but at least I can try and make peace in the world. What do you think about that? And then he sits there in his Oval Office with that young computer nerd who somehow or other became a multi-billionaire and the richest man on Earth. How? We don't know. By making rockets for going to Mars and things like that. Even that story is just wild. But he's there, and then she, the lady who is based on a certain lady named Tulsi. Those characters then are there as central in our story. One of the centers. But then we have other centers also, in China there, and in Sweden maybe, in Europe. Whatever we want to bring in here, we have Rick's story. So, again, trying to, maybe without introducing too many characters, at least introduce some from each part, which will then service different parts of the story, the big story. which this is just one book from, or film, or whatever, season. So yeah, something like that. I think if I forgot something now, I will remember that when I listen to this. But anyway, she then becomes the next president. And a woman who is of a spiritual heart, you know, really honest and bright in all ways. You know, we put these Vaishnava things that go hard, made of, you know, golden heart, and, you know, but can also come down as a thunderbolt. I forgot exactly the saying. We can use those. And that with her on that side, and then, but then of course she has her anniversary there on that side too. I mean, in the US, she got her enemies there coming up, like, you know, monsters that try, but she has to fight against them. I mean, we can drift it into that mythological level also, you know, that it becomes some hero's journey for her. Why not? But then we have the same situation on the other side, the global south side, which is then ruled by, well, whom, actually? It's more of a team. And then we just look at that team, you know, you have the Russian, you know, there's heavy guys, you know, from the old Soviet Union and the superpower ones, and that kind of a little bit angry because these stupid Americans took away their superpower status, you know, they would, whatever happened, their stupid leader gave it away to them and they betrayed us, you know, that kind of thing. And but they are strong and they are smart, they have really good programmers and they have really good soldiers and really good industry and they have showed it before, you know. No one has entered their nation and defeated them. Not Napoleon, not Hitler, not the Americans. I mean, whatever it was before that. So you got those there, like, you know, just show them as they are, or as Russians are. We don't need to call them that. Well, whatever we call them. Yeah, they could be there. And then you got the China. And you just make leaders who are not exactly those that are there now, but just that, based on those being their own characters. And how they, and this I have personal experience of, or met people in China on pretty top level, who were working with exactly this, with the central government, intellectuals, top level. That's another story I can explain, and that will probably be one of the stories here. Who then take this is actual fact, what happened in China when I was there around 2009 and or 12 there between, I don't remember exactly where. I think it was 2009 I met those people, yeah, first time. So, yeah, definitely. And what was it, 2007? I don't remember. And that's the story about a little group of intellectuals in China, mainly in Chinese literature, philosophy, things like that, and one professor in Sanskrit, they are experts in their Chinese history tradition, and especially their philosophical and, you know, the way, you know, their knowledge, the books, which contain, you know, everything, you know, from this philosophy and that philosophy, how to run a society and all of that. So they are kind of picking up from us. We put that story in there. So in this way it goes on from different parts of the world. And yes, enough for now.